This programme was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland.
Welcome to The Changing Face of Fairview, a series of programmes about how Fairview has changed over time. In this programme, we hear about Fairview characters and shops from the past. We hear about the North Strand bombings of World War II, the names of Fairview people who fought in 1916 Easter Rising. We hear from Eileen Kinnan and Tommy Condren about Fairview Cinema, the Fairview Park Bandstand and the Eucharistic Congress. But first we heard from Dennis McIntyre, who spoke about the historical aspects of the Fairview area.
Now, a man called John Durser erected the first bridge over the River Talca at Ballybough as early as 1308. This joined Ballybough to the causeway of the Mill Pool of Clontarf, which was a dangerous spot where the river entered the sea. Now, the sea then, and for a long time afterwards, ran from the Clontarf coastline to Ballybough and along the present North Strand Road and Amien Street. So, Amien Street and the North Strand would be relatively new areas, reclaimed land, of course. And turning round by Beresford Place, it continued by Strand Street to Essex Bridge, which is now Grattan Bridge. Now, the building of the first bridge at Ballybough, it opened up a thoroughfare, if you like, from Christchurch and the city centre through the present Parnell Street, Summerhill and Ballybough to the north side in general, Clontarf, Malahide and Fairview, and Howth indeed. Now that bridge was swept away in 1313, and it was 1488 before it was replaced by a solid structure which lasted for over 400 years. And a large white stone near Ballybough Bridge marked the then city boundary. And the bridge itself had a large gate which was locked at night. People forget that this was part of the walled city.
Yeah, walled city.
Now, Ballybough Bridge was widened and strengthened in 1985 and was actually renamed after the famous folk singer Luke Kelly. The bridge is central to any vision of Fairview or indeed the road to the north side.
Yeah.
And I'll just do a little bit about the reputation, and we don't mean to have a go at the inhabitants of the Ballybough Summerhill area.
Yeah.
But this approach to the north side, to Clontarf and Howth and so on, was anything but inviting. The area between Ballybough Bridge and the North Strand became quite notorious in the 18th century as a haven for robbers, brigands and thieves, and was known as Mud Island. Now, in this age of smuggling, cargoes of dutiable goods were taken ashore at night on Fairview Strand and quickly escorted to be hidden in the mudflats, where even the most job-conscious revenue officers did not dare penetrate.
Yeah.
But tussles between the two sides often had fatal consequences. Thus, Ballybough gained an unenviable evil reputation, and only a daring person would venture through in daylight, never mind at night.
Yeah.
And the two other items stand out. On the bridge, for some time, a gallows was erected and used, and sometimes the corpses of male factors were left hanging there for days to warn would-be brigands and so on that crime simply wouldn't pay.
Yeah.
The other one, which we may refer to in another programme when we're talking about Bram Stoker, was the existence of a suicide plot graveyard at the end of what is now Clonliffe Road in the heart of Ballybough.
Yeah.
And when you had to come to from the city to the north side, and you had to pass, this harrowing gallows bridge and a suicide plot. You'd want to have very good business.
You'd want to be brave.
You'd want to be brave.
1932 was an important year in the religious lives of the Merino Fairview residents, who in that year celebrated the Eucharistic Congress. Tommy Condren, who has served a lifetime in community leadership, speaks of the activities and preparations associated with this important historical religious event.
It was a time before television or anything like that, and all the different houses put holy pictures and decorated their houses for the Eucharistic Congress. There was two flags then there for that. There was the blue flag with the cross on it, and there was the papal flag as well.
Yeah. And tell me this, a lot of the people took part in this, and they decorated their houses, and they
Some of the schools were used. What use was made of the schools that they put up, apart from the flags? Did they put up other paraphernalia, if you like, to indicate their enjoyment, if you like, at this momentous event in 1932, the Eucharistic Congress?
Yes, there was John McCormick and all sang from the bridge, O'Connor Bridge and the park. And the dormitories in the schools were used for visitors. Yeah. For at that time, there was no such thing as big hotels all around. The hotels were limited. So yeah, the schools were used. And there was utility beds made, which were sold in afterwards at 5 shillings. And dressing tables was a little table with a stick and a mirror on it, and that was sold for a half crown. The people in Marino bought these afterwards.
Yeah. So that was 1932. What age were you at that stage?
5 year old.
5 year old. But you still have a strong memory of that.
I have great memory. It's my, the Eucharist Congress is my earliest memories in life.
Owen Curran, who has lived in the area for 50 years, spoke to me, and I asked him what changes have taken place in Fairview during that time.
Why is Fairview so important to you, and how long have you been living in Fairview?
Well, I'm over 50 years in Fairview. We moved in here when we got married, and my whole life has been in Fairview, basically. I was only 20 years elsewhere.
Yeah. Has Fairview changed a lot, and how has it changed over time, mainly?
Well, it is mainly changed by the new developments that have gone up. The apartment blocks, when we came here first, were only two-story houses, maybe the odd three-story detached house, but now it's much more built up.
Yeah. Now, the changing role of the church, you've written this book about the history of the church, the local church, Franciscan Parish, the Visitation of the Blessed Virgin. Why is the church so important in the community, and how is its role changing, just briefly?
Well, I'm glad you said briefly, because yeah. We could go on forever. Yeah. The church at the moment is going through a very trying time. In my view, they made terrible mistakes in dealing with many of the problems. But having said that, people still believe in God and people still go to church.
Many thanks to Owen Curran. Next, I spoke to Eileen Canaan about her recollections of Fairview Cinema and the bandstand in Fairview Park.
Oh, the cinema was absolutely gorgeous. Mm. We had the beautiful mahogany doors, yeah, and the uniform on the chap that was inside.
Yeah.
And mind you, I think he wore gloves.
Gloves, yeah.
Gloves that time. Yeah. And his buttons and all were lovely. Mm. And the cinema was splendid when you got in.
Yeah.
It was really nice. We saw lovely films in it.
Yeah. And the films on every day, was there?
Every day. Yeah. Every day.
Yeah.
They had cowboy films. We had the Anna Durbin, and we had Mickey Rooney and what do you call her? Mickey Shirley Rooney. Temple. No. And Shirley Temple's pictures, yeah, all yeah, those children.
Gone with the Wind.
And Gone with the Wind.
Yeah. Of course, Fairview Cinema's no more. And then, of course, the bandstand was a big part of your week.
The bandstand was in Fairview Park.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we, on a Sunday, we were all marched down there to sit down and listen. My father was mad about military music. He loved it.
Yeah.
And the band to be playing.
Yeah.
And we'd enjoy that.
Yeah. Now, you were also able to make your own entertainment then. You mentioned to me earlier then about the Muffet family. Yeah, the Muffet family had plays.
The Muffets was the name of the people. And they were splendid.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All the... They draw the curtains and all and had shows going on, you know.
Yeah. They made up their own shows.
Yeah.
And they entertained all the young people.
All the children that were around, that lived around.
Yeah.
It was a young parish then.
Yeah.
You know, there was a young parish then.
Yeah. So and down the CYMS ballroom then, you went there to dance.
I wasn't allowed there, but I was at a carnival there.
Yeah.
We had a great carnival there. Yeah. But also my sisters danced over there.
Yeah.
And one Saturday, Seamus said, let's go over Eilinton and see them dance. Mm. So he stood and I climbed up on his shoulders and looked in the window.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
And nearly died.
Yeah, that's fine, yeah.
Victor Edge of Edge's Hardware Store talked about Fairview of the past.
Well, when I started, I was only 10 years old at that time, and I used to do small local deliveries to residents that I would have known from early childhood. There were more friends than nearly customers over the years.
Tell us a little bit about the garage.
In 1927, the shop originally was known as E. Edge and Sons. Now, one of the sons was my father, and the other son was my uncle, who was George Edge. And that's when the garage started in 1927 by my uncle.
And tell us then about trams. You have a photograph in the shop of the Hoat tram, which includes a photograph of the sea lapping against the wall. And as we know, Fairview Strand was Fairview Strand at the time. So tell us a little bit about this photograph and what it tells us.
Well, the photograph of the tram going through Fairview, all the shops are on the front here opposite the Fairview Park, were really just gardens to the houses at that time. And that was in 1896.
Yeah.
And it was between that and the early 1900s that there were actually shops built on those gardens.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, in 1954, there was a flood. Could you just tell us then about how everybody at the time, where the flood was up to the counter in the shop, and that's about maybe 5 feet here and from the ground, and then how people were going around in boats. And you have a photograph, I think, of Larry Gogan's shop, which was Gogan's at the time, 1954 photograph, with a Johnson Mooney horse-drawn vehicle making deliveries at the time.
Yes, that's right. That was 1954, December. I think the railway bridge on the East Wall Road collapsed into the river and literally dammed it. And like the tide being, or the river there being tidal, and also being at high tide, the river was in flood.
Yeah.
And that really was what caused the flood, I think, at that time.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of the area now, as most people know, it really is flat land. And you don't have that history of families going back as much as we used to now. There still are quite a lot of families, like, going back many, many years. But as, like, with the flat land taking over a lot of the area now, you don't really know people, the individually people, as well as you normally would have known years and years ago.
Edge's Hardware is synonymous with Fairview, and long may it last. Des Higginbotham talked about his ancestors and how they came from Northern Ireland to set up their business, a furniture store, in Fairview.
The smuggling was another little thing. Being from a North of Ireland man, he knew his way well across the border at that time.
Yeah.
And the big thing for the American forces up there was Red Breast whiskey, Craven A, because they were tipped, and Players Number 6.
Mm.
Now, himself and another man, one of the Dag and Duns, they were glass merchants in Capel Street.
Yeah.
And they done a little smuggling run once a week or thereabouts for about 4 or 5 months to Red Ned in Armagh, packed with approximately 80 bottles of whiskey, which I would collect, and about 60 to 80,000 cigarettes. That went into the car, and they were making at that time 300 or 400 quid a night.
Yeah.
Which was an enormous amount of money at that time.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't last that terribly long, but it's enabled my mother, we'd say, to buy Fairview.
Yeah.
The Fairview then was 92 Fairview Strand, and it was bought by your mother, I think, was from the Craigie family, Merville Dairies, depot in 1943. So you remember the Sloblands before Fairview Park. Just describe it a little bit, and the tram.
Well, the tram was an open deck tram, plied between Howth, Somerton Howth and Dublin. It used to go round by the Bailey in a beautiful scenic view, and the tram sheds were actually in Sutton.
Yeah.
They were never in the tram sheds, say, in Phibsborough.
Yeah. Yeah.
In Sutton.
Yeah.
And they, in my opinion, they should never, and a lot of people around here, they should never have been done away with that. But at that time, Fairview Park wasn't there.
Yeah.
And the sea came up to practically the road.
Yeah.
And it was very, when the tide went out then, it was very sloppy.
Fairview is well served with modern supermarkets. And we spoke to staff in these about how they felt about Fairview.
What I like about it is the different variety of people. It's a close-knit area. We have a lot of people that come in and they'd chat, stand around and chat. Like, you don't just shop, you come in, they chat to other customers, they chat to the girls on the checkouts.
Hello, I'm Ingrid.
Ingrid?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm so from Lithuania.
Lithuania?
Yes.
So what do you like about working here?
Friendly staff.
Hi, how are you? Yeah, I am Baggy.
Where are you from? What country?
Mongolia.
Mongolia?
Yeah.
I'm from Sabah Place, and I like Fairview because the community is really tight around here. Everyone's really nice. I like to meet new people when you come into the shop and that. Everyone's just really nice.
No, I love the people and Adra are really nice.
I caught up with some students in the area who spoke about their aspirations and hopes for the future.
Do you think that young people's lives are as secure, or they feel as secure, say, as your parents did or grandparents did when they were growing up?
My grandmother is always going on about how she's been through two recessions and we'll get out of this one and everything like that.
Yeah.
So I'd say she probably felt probably like me. But I know that my mother and father, they both, my dad, as soon as he finished college, that he went straight to the civil service. And as my mom didn't even go to college, she has since, but she went straight from secondary school to the civil service. So I think at the time, things were more secure and things like they had more reassurance that there was something there for them.
Yeah.
I don't ever, when I'm talking to them, get the impression that they were insecure in it, whereas I am very insecure about what's going to happen to me when I finish my course.
So, Susan, can you reply to the same question about, I don't mean psychological security, I don't mean in your personal life, but that do people in general, young people, is their lifestyle or looking to the future, do you think generally feel less secure than their parents would have?
Well, I would say yeah. I'd say a lot of people have a lot of worries about what lies ahead in the future. You know, financially, you know, people have great insecurities about what's down the line, 5-10 years down the line, the responsibilities people have for their lives and for, you know, maybe for their kids.
The GAA has always played an important role in the history of Fairview. And St. Vincent's Club was set up in Fairview and continues there to this day. I did some interviews on the occasion of the All-Ireland hurling semi-final between Dublin and Tipperary and the final between Tipperary and Kilkenny. So I'm in Smith Pub in Fairview, and it's the day of the All-Ireland hurling semi-final, and there's a big crowd here in Smith's Pub, and Tipperary people and also Dublin fans, and they're all getting ready for the match. The minor match will be happening shortly, and then the senior match, Dublin and Tipperary. Now, so I have here Bobby Hogan, and he's from Tipperary, Solo Head Beg, and he tells me that that is where Dan Breen came from, who in 1919 was involved in an ambush, a big ambush, with black and tans and everything, shot dead, and that is part of the history of Tipperary. So what I'm going to ask Dan is, why is Dan Breen so important to you?
Well, I suppose the fact that time of the war, the fight for Irish freedom.
Tell us about this match. What do you expect in Croke Park today?
My name is Paul Malone. I'm from Bursacane in North Tipperary.
Yeah.
Fine club we have. I've gone senior this year for the first, and we'll be there again next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, the weather might not suit Tipperary because our skills are in skill, speed and picking the ball off.
Yeah.
An older team would probably do better in inclement weather. So a bit worried.
All alone by the Wade Roystrath and alone in... That's an undermount.
Don't stop now. Don't stop.
Fishing a bookerly marine, old shing and drum is farsateer. M-A-R-I-N-O Marino. Ryan meet Quill Shulis, Yoha meet Nakulis, Nourish, Hassan meet La Kayla. Bacon law, Hagen Shusher Kayla. Saint Machine Shermaron Gayla. It's Bag Marino, it rang good Joe. Follow them up, that's the way to win the cup.
That was the football chant of the Skulwira Primary School Marino, as sung by Pat, Dan and Austin, former pupils. I asked Pat to tell me about some of the characters that lived in the area.
Well, the characters that lived in Fairview, not so long ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, first of all, we'd Sarge, then we'd Freddie, then we'd Mick MacDonald from Bill's, the Snooker Hall, we'd Mr. Early, we'd Spud Murphy, who was very famous, actually, and Baldo McCauley, who was a chap from East Wall, who was really the king of Fairview. We'd Ben Hannigan of football fame. We'd Mick the Coalman. We'd Mr. Hatton the Milkman. We'd the Slop Boys. We'd Mr. Carroll the Vegetable Man. We'd Mr. Bennett the Insurance Man. We'd Frankie Lowry, who was a great friend of ours in Merino Green, came home by rail always on a Saturday night. That meant he was holding the railings. We'd Darcy the Barber and we'd Larry the Barber.
I also asked Pat about some of the shops in the area, some of which are long past.
In more recent times, McDonald's the Grocers were there, Christie's the Barbers, the Merino Mart, Monley's the Grocers, Cripps Shoes, the Croydon Stores. In the Casket, our local chipper was Nino. In the Fairview Inn was also our local chipper, and still existing to this day is Edges. They have survived all the rough times, including the floods.
Tell us then, Pat, just to finish up, I mean, what does Fairview now mean to you looking back?
Well, Fairview nowadays is lost in the city, but there was actually the town of Fairview. Mm. And it, as a young fella, to get down out of Merino and actually into the Fairview Park, as it was, it has just been established. The railway had been built at that stage, and the slob lands had ceased to be. Mm. And it was heaven in itself. Threatening in certain areas, to some fairly tough lads from East Wall used to sort us out the odd time. Mm. We also had some tough Merino fellas also that would defend us on other occasions. Yeah. But, no, there was, between the Fairview Cinema, Bill's, as we call it, Moran's, then there was Mrs. Max. Danny didn't mention that. That's where Danny started his dancing. That was on Phillipsburg Avenue. Yeah. Of course, the Iron, I think, was a little bit more posh than the CY. I always got that impression, you know. Yeah. And there was the Strand Cinema. That didn't seem to be quite up to the class of the Fairview Cinema.
Many thanks to Dan, Pat and Austin. I paid a visit to Smith's Pub, where there is a permanent photographic exhibition of the North Strand bombings. The following is a letter which features as part of this exhibition.
I was in bed with my mother that night when we heard the planes coming. Then we heard the big guns that were located somewhere down near the Point Depot. They were firing at the planes as they were going over. The planes must have been flying very low because we could hear what I can only describe as like the gears of a car jamming. Then we heard the whistling sounds, then the big explosions. So this is an exhibition. This is an exhibition in Smith's Pub in Fairview, which shows a lot of what happened in that fateful bombing
in 1941, to be precise, on the night of the 31st of May, 1941, just down the road, a stone's throw.
Fairview was central to the events of the Easter Rising 1916. Owen Curran and Niall Ring spoke about their researches of these events and provided the names of men from the area who took part in the Rising.
Well, the Irish Transport and General Workers Union rented Croydon House in 1913 as a holiday hostel, and its grounds, Croydon Park, were the venue for a mass meeting during the 1913 strike. The Irish Citizen Army used the grounds for training purposes prior to 1916. It is held locally that Canon MacDonald heard the confessions of some of the volunteers on Easter Monday in Father Matthew Park before they set out for the post office. The actual fighting took place round Fairview. The volunteers occupied houses at Ballybock and Ansley Bridge, Fairview Corner and Phillipsburg Avenue. They occupied the area until driven out by superior forces on the Saturday of Easter week. It was reported that nobody was killed, although several people were wounded.
Harry Colley lived close by in Clonliffe Road.
Mm. That was the father of George Colley, wasn't it?
That's the father of George Colley, yeah. And in terms of the Joey's boys, the 24 Joey's boys, five of them were the Rings. There was the Hendersons. There was Sean Connolly, who was the first man actually killed in the 1916 Rising. He was a captain in the Citizens' Army and was a pupil of Joey's. It was the centre of training for the 2nd Battalion. As you probably know, there were four main battalions involved in the 1916 Rising.
Yeah.
And you had Ned Daly's 1st Battalion, who were in the four courts. You had Tomás MacDonagh, who was the commander of the 2nd Battalion, and that was the battalion based in Fairview. You had De Valera, who was in Boland's Mill, and then you had Eamon Cant, was the commandant of the 4th Battalion, which was in the South Dublin Union.
Yeah.
And within the 2nd Battalion, it would have been broken down in the standard military way into companies, and there would have been B Company, C, E, F and G.
Yeah.
And the men from around the area were, say for example, in B Company you had Paddy Daly, who was from Merino Avenue. And Paddy Daly would have been partaken in the Rising, but subsequently became a member of Michael Collins's hit squad, or the squad involved in his activities during the War of Independence.
Yeah.
In B Company, you would have had another officer who was Michael Murphy, who was from Number 2 Leinster Avenue, and his daughter is still alive and living in Leinster, in Number 2 Leinster Avenue to this day.
Yeah.
In C Company, you had the Ring brothers, my ancestors, and their commander, or their captain, was Eamon Price, who was from Killarney Parade.
Yeah.
E Company had Thomas Weaver as their captain, who was killed at in Abbey Street. And then the main one, the main company, which was F Company, was captained by Frank Henderson, and Frank was from Windsor Villas, and Frank and his brother Leo, who was also a captain, he subsequently became a captain of B Company. Would have been Fairview born and bred, and the family, I still believe there's family connections in the Fairview area.
I would like to thank all those who participated in this programme and in the series The Changing Face of Fairview, and a special thanks to the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland for their sponsorship of the series.
This programme was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland.